on today's Compassion Radio.
They were apprehended by the police, who discovered their boxes of Bibles and dumped them into a public latrine. These four came back, dropped themselves into that mess, trying to reclaim some of those 1,000 Bibles. And I thought, who among us would be that desperate for God's Word that we would submerge ourselves in that filth in order to reclaim God's Word?
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Where is the Word of God doing the most good today? Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio, where the teaching is more than talk and the learning is more than listening. We're glad to have you along for today's adventure of faith. Yesterday began a classic two-part series on the value of the Word in China. Norm's special guest, Terry Madison, spent a number of years as president of Open Doors USA, and he's personally participated in some of the most daring evangelistic missions in history. Today they continue their conversation on the amazing opportunities and challenges still facing the church in China. This powerful interview is evergreen and communicates so well why we continue to make Bibles for China such a prime focus of this ministry. Here's Norm.
Here's my conversation with Terry Madison, part two.
We, in the last few weeks, have met one of the well-known, and I cannot share his name, house church leaders, who told me the following story. He has oversight of over 1 million house church believers, has been in prison for a number of times, total of 10 years in prison. His own wife has spent in 3 years in prison, and under very hard circumstances, isolation, having their hands shackled behind them and then suspended on hooks on the wall and left to hang there for hours at a time until their whole body was just racked with pain and convulsions and so on. I asked him, brother, did you ever receive any of our Project Pearl Bibles? This was goes back 21 years where we delivered 1 million Bibles by tugboat and barge, and you and I have shared that story on your program.
We have dealt with that story. In fact, we did two programs of that.
Well, I asked him, did he ever get any of those Bibles? And I had a sample, and he looked at that Bible and he said, yes. And I said, can you tell me some stories about these Bibles? What impact did it have upon your life and the church's life? And here's a couple stories. Every week for months, I would say actually years, after those 1 million Bibles were delivered, he sent a team of four every week to a central place where some, but not all of these 1 million Bibles had been stored. They were literally all over the country, but there were sort of central distribution points. So he was going to get his 1,000 per week, 4,000 a month for month after month after month. During one of the trips of the four couriers back to their home community, they were apprehended by the police, who discovered their boxes of Project Pearl Bibles, and in front of them tore open the boxes and dumped them into what we would call a public latrine, or the old privies of some of our knowledge when we were growing up in the earlier days in America before indoor plumbing. And they beat them up and then let these four couriers leave. Well, under the darkness of night, these four came back to that public privy, dropped themselves into that terrible, terrible mess up to their mid-chest, and then began to fish around, trying to reclaim some of those 1,000 Bibles. Oh, and they found so many of them, and they brought them back out to the surface, somehow were able to find a place to wash themselves off, and began to wash off God's Word and cleanse it from the terrible mess in which it had been thrown. And then somewhere in this whole process, they were able to get perfume, and they doused every one of those Project Pearl Bibles with perfume to give it a sweet-smelling fragrance. Yeah. And I thought, who among us would be that desperate for God's Word that we would submerge ourselves in that filth in order to reclaim God's Word? And somewhere in China, even as we speak, there are 1,000 of those Project Pearl Bibles still giving off not only the sweet aroma of that perfume, but the sweet fragrance of Christ as they read of him in the pages of God's holy word. I was just mesmerized by the story and deeply struck with the tenacity and the desire and the urgent need to keep God's word flowing in China. And they did it.
Terry, to give kind of a picture, a mental image on radio of what these Bibles look like, they're not like our great big genuine leather India-paged books. It isn't like, oh my goodness, we've lost these $100 Bibles. These are simple little volumes. In fact, you've got some of them on the table in front of us right now. There is no real worth or value in the book itself as a physical object, is there? They're very unimpressive.
They are unimpressive, beguilingly so.
Yeah.
I would say roughly 4 inches by 6 inches and maybe an inch and a half thick. Complete Old and New Testament. It's a complete scripture in the Chinese text. Unimposing, unimpressive in that regard. I also, as you can see, Norm, and our listeners will have to use the theater of the imagination to see
right.
this, we have two copies that have actually been sent back to us. We've given a more recent, a larger edition copies to two people who've surrendered. One has lost its cover and is really ratty-tatty on the edges here, and the other one still has its cover on it, but is greatly swollen just from the humidity, and I expect the perspiration of someone carrying that in their pocket kind of thing. These Bibles would not capture your imagination just by virtue of their size. They don't have a leather cover and so on, but they were waterproofed. And that was part of the magic of the delivery by sea, that even though some of them got wet in the sea, they were surviving not only the sea, but this trip to the latrine.
You would not submerge yourself into a latrine to rescue one of these books because there was any inherent value in the physical thing itself. It was the value of the content, the reality of God's word that makes these little unimpressive books so valuable to them that they would do such a thing as to submerge themselves in human waste to rescue these copies.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just astounding to me.
Another story that he shared, and again, it shows the hunger and the passion for God's word, that we in the West here would capture this same hunger.
Yeah.
After years, this church leader with over a million people under his supervision never had a Bible that he kept longer than 2 or 3 weeks because he always found somebody who needed his copy, and he would pass it off, and then, you know, in the next Bible that came through the system, he would take that one and use that. So finally, Open Door sent him a memorable Bible, a leather-bound Bible with gold edges, very similar to what we would have here, and it would be a treasured book for us that we would take to church with us. We gave that to him, and the story that he told me recently was that he went to a pastor's training session, what I call seminary on the run, and he had this wonderful Bible. And there at this training session, he met a believer, part of his million fellowship, who had read his old ratty-tatty Bible 100 times. And he said, "Brother, I'm going to give you my brand-new leather-bound Bible so that you can continue to read the larger print and so on and so forth." So he did. All the other students held up their hands and said, "Uncle," using his name, and they called him Uncle, "Uncle, if we read our Bibles 100 times, would you give us a leather Bible like that?" And he said, "Well, how many times have you read your Bible?" And some said 30, some said 40, some said 50. Nobody had made it to the 100 times. And I'm listening to the story, and I'm saying to myself, have I read the Bible cover to cover 30 times? No. And going back, I'm embarrassed how few times I've gone cover to cover. Certain books I have real passion for, and I read them over and over again.
Sure.
But cover to cover, and I thought, here again, with small Bibles, out-of-the-way Bibles, tattered Bibles, passed-on Bibles, handwritten Bibles, these folks are just soaking up God's Word and reading it cover to cover, memorizing it, passing it on. And I thought, there again, the value, the worth, the potential of God's word hidden away in people's hearts and in their hands. It's immeasurable.
Terry, my image of a Chinese Bible is that of a little book that has been read and thumbed through and studied and marked up so much that the pages are falling out of it. You use the term ratty-tatty. I don't know if that's Canadian or what. I kind of like that. These ratty-tatty books that have been used and used and used and used and used so many times that they are falling apart, and it is obvious, I've heard for example, and I know you've heard this at least as many times as I have, about people who are given a Bible and who sit down and read it from cover to cover without stopping. In a way, that sounds like it's impossible. That sounds like something that could not be done. It's unrealistic to us. And yet, I believe it because I know how the Chinese Christians treasure the Word of God and how excited they are to receive a copy. And this just bears it out. And the ones that we have sitting on the table in front of us here certainly have been read and read and read so many times.
Well, this brother told us of a sister, Christian sister, who got her very first Bible, and she sat and read it through. It took her 6 days and read it through while she took care of an ailing relative who was sick, and she stayed up night and day. And when she wasn't actively doing that in those interim moments in between, she read it cover to cover in 6 days. Then we were told the story about 3 years ago of a letter that came to our office in Asia saying, can you come and help us? And my colleague, went to find out what the need was. And it turned out it was a dear brother who had received one of those Project Pearl Bibles. He prayed for 3 years for a Bible, and finally he got his own copy. He was so excited that he sat down, and it took him 7 days. He was not quite the speed reader of his sister, but he read it cover to cover in 7 days. God spoke to his heart. He read it through on the second week in another 7 days, cover to cover. And in that process, God put a call upon his life to become an itinerant evangelist, and with that little Project Pearl Bible, to begin to circulate in his province and to share the word as he increasingly understood it. Now, 18 years later, he's asking us for help. And our colleague said, well, what help can we give you? And he said, I need Bibles. And they said, well, how many Bibles do you need? And he said, 24,000. Our colleague said, 24,000, that's a lot of Bibles. He said, yes, I need them every month.
Every month.
And it turns out that in that 18 years since he had received his own copy, he now had a house fellowship movement of over 350,000 people. And throughout this network, they were leading roughly 24,000 people a month to our saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And he had this incredible backlog of need. And so we've tried to accommodate some of that need, hopefully all of it, in the last 3 years just to do catch up with this one fellowship.
24,000 Bibles a month, just to help one pastor meet the need. Now just imagine handing out 800 Bibles a day from the front steps of your church to people who are eagerly waiting for one. It seems incredible, and it is. But in China, it's also true. And you can help meet this real need for Bibles in China. Here's how.
Well, my friend, I'm concerned that in China, where the church is growing so fast today, and where that country is becoming a tremendous economic powerhouse in the world, its young people are banned by law from receiving any kind of religious instruction. You see, even though Christianity is growing faster in China today than it has at any time and place in the 2,000-year history of the Christian faith, the Communist government of China has legally prohibited the Christian education of children under 18 years of age. Now, practically speaking, what this means is that Chinese children are denied access to the Word of God in churches, in schools, and yes, even in their homes, even in the most Christian homes, where parents understandably would want to protect their children from harm. The logic of the government is simple. If Chinese children are excluded from exposure to the Bible, the Christian faith will gradually disappear from China as the older generation dies off and its Christians take their biblical knowledge and values with them to the grave. That's what they want to happen. Well, let me tell you that Compassion Radio's response to this challenge is to take on that challenge, and we're doing so by means of our Bibles for China project. We are once again launching our campaign to provide thousands of attractive copies of God's Word in the Chinese language. Now, one of the most remarkable developments of the growth of Christianity in China today is that Chinese Christian young people who have become followers of Jesus are becoming missionaries. They are spreading the good news of Jesus both within and beyond the borders of China. Although a few whole Bibles are printed in China, no Bibles are available there unless we believers here in America supply them. Now, it's easy for you to participate in this great Bibles for China campaign during this month. Oh, my friend, don't miss out on this tremendous opportunity. You know, there's no better investment in all the world than giving God's Word to believers in China. For each copy of the Bible given, it's estimated that 5 converts come to faith in Jesus Christ. So, I hope that you'll be a part of this incredibly wonderful effort. All right, for further information, here's Bram Floria.
The best part is that even a gift as small as $6 can provide a brand new copy of God's Word for a new Christian in China. Just think what your gift of $12, $24, $60, or $120 could do. How many Bibles will you put into the hands of new believers in China this year? Just give us a call today. Miracles are happening in China right now through the power of God's Word. You can help make that happen. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we can be found on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. We're in the last day of this important project, so please call today. And now, back to the program.
This brother that I just shared with you briefly had this wonderful mental picture. We said, is there still a need for Bibles in China? Which, of course, we knew the answer to, but I wanted to hear it from him. And he said, you know, it's like taking a bucket of water in the desert and pouring it into the sand within minutes. It's as if you never poured the water there. It's just soaked up and absorbed and gone. Yeah. He said, that's what it's like for Bibles in China. When you bring them in, they're gone, as if you never bought them. They're gone. There's just so much need. And so that's an ongoing, continuing need. And again, when we guesstimate, somewhere between 10,000 and 25,000 people a day throughout China are coming to faith, and you multiply that by 7 days a week and 4 weeks a month, and then extend that out over time. No wonder this wonderful revival is going on in the church in China, and why the need for Bibles continues. We're just running in place. We can't get ahead of the wave. Yeah. What a wonderful challenge and problem that is, but it also raises real issues of cults who come in and pick off the low-hanging fruit and who siphon away the new babes in Christ who are defenseless and so incredibly vulnerable. That's why there's this immediacy and why we need to do things as much as we can, as fast as we can, to get God's precious word in the hands of those who are coming to faith.
Boy, amen to that. Terry, there's something that really excites me about the church in China. We've spoken to this before, but I know you can confirm this, and that is that the Chinese church is not just absorbing the Word of God as they receive these copies of God's precious Word. They're not just absorbing it into their own lives and sort of storing it up for their own private spiritual development and stopping there. They're not only sharing the Word of God and the message of Christ's love and the gospel with Chinese people all around the nation of China, they are moving across national borders and carrying God's Word as missionaries to the countries all around them. And recently we have been discovering the degree to which the Chinese are moving out along the Silk Road and heading for Jerusalem and claiming that whole Muslim region of Central Asia for Jesus Christ. They are missionary-minded, aren't they?
We've heard the same story, this passion for moving west to Jerusalem and evangelizing along the way. Let me tell you about what we call kamikaze evangelists.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Now, these are young men and women, often in their late teens, early 20s, single, who've come to faith in Christ and have this incredible evangelistic passion. They sell their blood, and you can do that in China. You know, at these blood banks, they don't quite have the organized Red Cross system as we would in our country, and you can sell a pint of your blood for some small sum of money, and they use that money to buy their bus tickets to the next point that they want to get to, and whatever's left over, they eat rice and depend on the Lord for their food and daily needs. And they go out for weeks at a time in small groups of men, young men and young women, and preach the gospel. Well, this is irrepressible. No wonder the church is growing 10 to 25,000 per day with that kind of fervor and passion and zeal to take his word. And the fact that they move outside of their own locality and move out of their own province and start heading west, heading north, and so on. It's the book of Acts again, leaving Jerusalem and going to the uttermost parts of the world, which for them is Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It's sort of the book of Acts in reverse.
Right.
They're heading back home, in the sense, back to where the church was first founded.
Terry, I discovered the New Testament church in China. I'm not sure what your personal story is in that regard, but that was the first place in my life as a Christian that I discovered in action, in reality, with flesh and blood, what the New Testament church was all about. And as you know, it changed my life. It changed our ministry. It is absolutely irrepressible. These young people are selling their blood, and with the proceeds, with the money they receive for selling their blood, moving on to the next village to proclaim the gospel of Christ. There's something theological about that, isn't there, when you talk about redemption through the blood?
It captures the imagination when you realize, and the word kamikaze, of course, would have a negative connotation for most of us thinking back to World War II and so on. But the reason they call themselves that is not because they are death and destruction,
yeah,
but they are going for broke. It's a one-way trip for them. They're giving all to Jesus. When they get on that bus, they're going to get off at the other end, and they're going to do it again. And you just sort of realize the passion that they have.
Yeah.
And no one's forcing them to do this. They've got the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts that is just motivating them. They couldn't do otherwise. This is Spirit-led, and they've made themselves available to God's holy work, and He's sending them out in twos and threes and small groups, and it's young people. And, you know, what an example to the youth of our own nation. And so many of them have caught the vision to get involved in,
yes,
missions and short-term mission trips and so on. But there's a kindred spirit here that we,
yeah,
find in the church and in the church in Vietnam and so many of the other places. The youth are mobilizing by the Spirit of God to step out and do something of significance for the kingdom. And we just pray that more and more of our young people in America will, as it were, go for broke and live on the edge and be out there,
yeah,
for Jesus.
You know, the words extreme and radical have been very popular words within our youth culture, at least in recent years. And even beyond our youth culture, there are people who are jumping out of airplanes and doing all kinds of what are known as so-called extreme sports to get a kind of psychological rush, to put adventure in their lives and so forth. I can understand that on one level, and yet here are young people who are, in a sense, giving their lives for something that is of eternal value, not just for a momentary rush, but as you say, living on the edge, living for Jesus in a way that is radical and extreme, truly radical and extreme, because it may cost them their lives, and they know it, but who are willing to give everything they are and everything they have to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed them and whom they love so much and want to share with those around them. Man, that is extreme, and that is radical faith.
And it's extreme and radical faith because they do it in a country where doing it is against the law.
Right.
This is not a place where you stand on street corners and preach and get applauded. This,
yeah,
is a place where you get arrested, beat up, put in jail, run off, whatever. And despite all of the man-made objections and constrictions and restrictions, these young people are doing their thing for Jesus, and they're out there making it happen. And the church at large, the older folks as well, who may not have the mobility of doing quite as much as the young people, again, they're faithful to the Lord, they're evangelizing, their church is growing, and it's challenging society, but in the positive, good way, that Christians do when they're on fire for the Lord and have a heart for their own.
Terry, you and Carol and Sharon and I are kindred spirits in so many ways, of course, but our ministries are kindred spirits. And I want you to tell our listeners how they can have a part in what you're doing at Open Doors, and especially in relation to your outreach into countries where Christians are persecuted.
We love to have people join Open Doors in our prayer ministry. We feel that prayer is the first and probably the last line of defense, and everything in between needs to be bathed in prayer. And so we have a Partners in Prayer Fellowship, hundreds of chapters across America where men and women, such as yourselves as you listen even now, gather together in someone's home or in a church. Anywhere for 2 to 60 people get together, and we provide the prayer points, the prayer information, and they pray up a storm, and we supply the material. We have a youth program that challenges young people in practical, daring-do kind of ways to get involved, and a lot of young people's youth meets on weekends and so on would do some of our exercises. We have the Women of the Way taking this wonderful part of the body of Christ in America and increasingly now around the world, where women are mobilized to pray for, but also raise funds for, to go visit and stand alongside, particularly the women of the persecuted church. All of this material is on our website, Norm, and folks may want to take a look at that and interact with that. They can communicate with us. It's www.opendoorsusa.org, O-R-G, and Open Doors USA is all one word. We do have a toll-free number, 1-888-5-BIBLE-5, and during regular work hours, you're able to speak to a live frontline care center caring person on the other line, and she or he will be able to give you information as well.
Exciting things are happening around the world, and we stand with you and behind you and support you 1,000%, Terry, as you know. I want to thank you for coming to Compassion Radio today and helping us to understand better what God is doing in China.
We're quickly coming to the close of this year's Bibles for China project, so call today to make sure you can send a brand new Bible to a Christian believer in China who so longs for one. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. We can be found on the web at CompassionRadio.com, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. I'm Bram Floria. We'll see you again Monday.